Hallelujah. God is about to release great things into your life through the undiluted word you're about to listen to. Pay attention, as this sermon will grant you deeper understanding of God's word. And now, here is the undiluted word.
1 Samuel chapter 17. I'll read verse 14 to verse 15, verse 17 to verse 18, verse 20, and then verse 23 to verse 25. And David was the youngest. I'd like you to take note of these. And David was the youngest, and the three eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. I want to be like David. He went to where others went, but he returned back to his father's business. My prayer for you is that God will never take you to a place where it will be difficult for you to come back to him. The three elders of David's brothers, they followed Saul, but they didn't return. But David also went there. He saw what they saw. He saw the breakthrough. He saw the money. He saw the favor. He saw the fame. But yet, he came back to his father's business. Somebody touch your heart. Say, I will come back to my father's business. I didn't hear you well. Say, I will come back to my father's business. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem and carried these 10 trees unto the captain of their 1,000. And look how thy brethren fared. That was his father sending him. And take their pledge. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper. And took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going for to fight. And shouted for the battle. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistines of Gad, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines. And spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him. And were so afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killed him, the king, will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. Can you say to yourself, I will finish my destiny journey? Now, if you have been following up from the beginning of while on destiny's journey, you will note that we have stopped at number 14. And number 14, I said, train yourself to say no. Number 13, I said, avoid the trap of late decision making. Number 12, I said, don't do the right things at the wrong time. Number 11, don't believe you can always beg your way through. Number 10, don't be caught in the wave of partial or incomplete readiness. Number 9, avoid when we get to the bridge, we will cross it mindset. Do all that has to be done now. Number 8, don't put your confidence on flexible things. Number 7, beware of the error of presumption and assumption. Number 6, don't violate the basics. And number 5, don't stop until you have arrived. Number 4, be careful of your destiny drivers. Everybody cannot drive you. And then number 2, know who to talk to and who to run to. And number 1, foundation is everything. So I want to look at number 15 from 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 14. Know your destiny path and stay there. While on destiny journey, know your destiny path and stay there. If you look at verse 14 and verse 15 of 1 Samuel chapter 17, the Bible says, David went and came back and took care of his father's sheep. David was the youngest, and the three elders followed Saul. But look at verse 15. But he went and returned. Know your destiny path. He returned to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. That was his destiny path. And that was the job that qualified him for the throne. You know, sometimes people would think that getting close to the throne is what qualifies you to take the empty seat on the throne. But with God, it is not the proximity to the throne that determines who mounts the throne. It is proximity to God. I say that again. With God, it is not proximity to power that determines who holds power. It is proximity to the one who has power. How close are you with God? David was far away from the throne, yet he was closer to the kingmaker. He was far away from the throne, yet he was very near to the one who enthrones men. Why the brothers of David were very close to the throne? They were talking with Saul every now and then. They could feed in the palace. And so they thought that nearness to that throne will make them qualify for the throne. But no, it was nearness to God. The Bible says David went and returned. He knew his destiny path. Do you know where you belong to? It is not all roads that leads there. You must know the path that will lead you to your God-given destination. Friends, it is not every road that will lead you to where God wants you to happen. You need to know the road, the path. Matthew chapter 7, if you read verse 13 and verse 14, the Bible says, enter ye into the straight gate, for narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life, and wide and broad is the gate to lead to destruction, and many there are that finds it. There is a road that will lead you to your destiny. Don't follow every path, because every path don't lead there. Proverbs chapter 14 verse 12. The Bible said there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is the way of destruction. Know your destiny path and do what? And stay there. Even though David was young, he understood the economy of paths. No wonder he said in Psalms chapter 23 and verse 3, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. David understood the economy of paths very early in life. Friends, if you will arrive where God wants you to be, there's a road to take. There is a path to follow. There is a path to follow. Know that path. For David, it was the path of responsibility. It's not just having the name that I am working in the palace, but I want to be dutiful. So he came back. Listen, there are paths in life that leads nowhere. If you take such path, you will end nowhere. There are paths in life that leads nowhere. If you take that path, you're not going to end anywhere. For instance, the path of disobedience and rebellion. If you take that path, you won't go anywhere. The path of self-righteousness. I am okay by myself. You can't be taught. You can't be corrected. You can't be adjusted. You are who you are by yourself, for yourself, and with yourself, and in yourself. Nobody is better than you. You can't hear from no one else. That path leads nowhere. If you take that path, you will arrive nowhere. The path of pride and arrogance. You can ask Nebuchadnezzar. Nobody ever takes the path of pride and arrogance and arrive anywhere near to God. For God resisted the proud, but he gives his grace unto the humble. There are those who haven't seen anything, but yet their shoulders are so high as though they have seen everything. There are those who haven't arrived anywhere, but yet they can't respect the path of pride, the path of arrogance. Another path is the path of wastefulness and extravagance. There are people who live wasteful life. You have 200,000 today. You finish the 200,000 in 2 days. You have 500,000. Everybody will know money has entered your hand. In 3 weeks, you are begging for the least 50,000 naira. That is the path of wastefulness and extravagance. Nobody takes that path and arrives somewhere. Ask the prodigal son. He had everything going for him right in his father's house. He had the favor of his father. He could ask for his portion, and the portion was given to him. The Bible says, in a short while, he lived a righteous lifespan. And the Bible says he spent all. If you are someone here that always spend all, whenever it comes, you will not arrive anywhere. There are people, until your money finish, you no go rest. Until your pocket is empty, you will not be humble. Yeah, there are people like that. Until your bank account is red, you won't stop buying. Until your purse and your wallet is empty, you won't stop. You keep spending. That is the part of extravagance and wastefulness. The prodigal son ended in a sheep piggery farm. And he was taking care of somebody's pig. So much so that the salary was not enough to feed him. And he started sharing from the pig's food. I don't know what kind of food the pigs were eating. But I know that was not the best food for human beings. But he had no option because he lived a righteous life. Are you like that? All the monies you are spending, if you put it together, you can buy a piece of land at Igruta's. Tell your neighbor, did you hear, Pastor? I mean Igruta, you can buy a piece of land there. You can buy a piece of land at Igboiche. But no. You keep spending. You keep spending. That road leads nowhere. The path of wickedness. There are people who are wicked. That path leads nowhere. Some persons are in church, but they are wicked. Very wicked. Wicked church people. Wicked. Speaking in tongues. Very wicked. You see their wickedness. Between their children and other people's children, the way they treat them. Wicked people. The Bible says, my people shall turn away from their wicked ways. There are God's people that are wicked. The path of wickedness will take you nowhere. I was teaching somewhere last Tuesday. Those that have the authority to pronounce a curse and the curse will hold. And I say one of those people are those who are offended. When somebody is offended genuinely and he pronounces a curse, the curse will fall on you. Because there are people who will not pay their staff, their salaries. You won't pay. Somebody broke a plate and the cost of that plate is 2,000 and you are seizing 1 month's salary of 18,000. Bro, is that not wickedness? Why not take away the 2,000 if you are that bad and pay him the balance of 16,000? Why say, because you did this, I'm not going to pay you your whole salary. That's wickedness. If that young man or young girl pronounces a curse, it will come on you. Don't take that part. Don't take the part of wickedness, because it will take you nowhere. The elder brothers of David followed Saul, but David chose the path of destiny. He returned from Saul to keep his father's sheep. Even after visiting Saul, the king in the palace, he still came back to his father. My question is, some that have tested honor are no more coming back to the father's business. Some persons that have tested honor, they are no longer coming back to the church. Some that have tested promotion can't come back again. The devil have taken them. Can I ask you, where have you gone that you can't return to your father's business? What have you achieved that is taking you away from your father's business? Because a lot of persons have been taken away from the father's business, but not David. Not David. Not David. If you read another translation, the Bible says he will often visit the palace and return. He will go to the palace and return. He will go to the palace and return and took care of his father's business. Why are you no longer in church? Why are you no longer ushering? Why are you no longer singing in the choir? Why are you no longer sweeping? Where have you gone to that you can't do your father's business anymore? What has he shown you that you can no longer do your father's business? He came back to his father's business. That was his destiny path. He took that destiny path. No wonder the day that God was looking for a king to replace the king who was already on the throne. The Bible said those that were going with Saul were presented, but God rejected them with their big heads. God rejected them with their deep pockets. God rejected them with their complete condensed CVs. He rejected them. And the Bible says, Samuel said, are these all your children? And Jesse said, no, one of them is left. He's still doing the business of the father that he used to do when he was young. He's still in the prayer warrior section. He's still singing in the choir where he used to be many years ago. They said, go and bring him. As soon as he came, he was the one that was enthroned because he was in his father's business. Walking the walk of the Father is a sure part of destiny fulfillment. Let me ask you now, where are you in the Father's house? Are you a worker? Are you a spectator? Or you are just a bench warmer? Answer that question. Where are you in your Father's house? Are you a worker? Or you are a spectator? Every time you come, you spectate and go. Or you are just a bench warmer? Make sure that you take your destiny path. Stay there. Because that will lead you to your destiny. Number 16. While on destiny path, be sendable. If you read verse 15, the Bible says, Jesse, the father of David, called David and said to David, take these 10 cheese and take this water and go. Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp and carry these 10 cheese unto the captain of their thousand and look how thy brethren fare. Are you sendable? Number 16, be sendable. Tell your neighbor, be sendable. While you are on destiny path, be sendable. What that means, put yourself in a position where you can be sent on an errand. Some persons are available, but they are never sendable. They are always around, but you can't send them. It's either they are not capable, they have not developed themselves. You know, when you have a child at home and you need to bathe and you can't send the child to go fetch you water to bed. But do you have somebody at home? Yes, there is somebody at home. But that child cannot be sent because he has not developed capacity on that errand. Some persons are like that in church. You can't be sent on anything. Are you sendable? One day, David said, oh, how I thirst for the waters of Bethlehem. And three men arose and said, no matter what it will cost us, we will get you the waters of Bethlehem. And when they went, the Bible said there was a garrison of the Philistines. They killed the Philistines and they brought the water for their master. May the Lord make you sendable. They can't be sent on any errand because they consider themselves too honorable, sometimes too educated, sometimes too big, especially for small tasks. There are people like that consider themselves too big for small tasks. Now, it shouldn't be us that should be going to sweep or wash the toilet. I mean, there are people that should be doing that. Hallelujah. You can never be too big for any tax in your master's house. It's in your father's house. You can never be too big for any tax. They are never open to any assignment. They are never open to any assignment. The father of David said to David, go. While on destiny journey, you must put yourself in a position that you can be sent. If you can't be sent, you can't be supported. Can I ask you, who is sending you on errands? Is it God? Is it man or flesh? Who is sending you on errand? Can your pastor say, sister, come and do this. Brother, come and do this. Can you be sent? If destiny will happen for you, you must be sendable. Number next, while on destiny journey, take up assignment early. Take up assignment early. Everybody repeat after me. Take up assignment early. Let me hear you loud and clear. Take up assignment early. Now, if you read, I think verse 20. And David rose up early. David did what? He rose up early in the morning. Take up assignment early. Don't be found dragging your feet on the assignment of 2 months ago. Take up assignment early. Friends, time waits for nobody. If it is the master's task, it will require haste. The Bible says, woe to those who are at ease in Zion. David arose early in the morning. The question is, how early are you in what you are here for? Are you still waiting for the right time that will never come? Serve God now. Use your early years for kingdom agenda. Don't waste your youthfulness on drugs and alcoholism, occultism. Rise up early and start on the journey. Take up assignment early. What a time to serve God early in your life. David rose up early. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. If you read Genesis chapter 22, verse 3, Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, is on his way to obedience. Why are you still dragging your feet? You are 20 years old, you are not yet born again, and you are fanning yourself. You are 33 years old, you are not sure whether you have a relationship with God, and you say heaven is our destination. You don't know what you are talking about. When Jesus was to die in the book of Luke chapter 22, women followed after him and they were weeping because of the way he was being maltreated. And Jesus turned and said to them, do not weep for me. Weep for yourself, because at 33, I have finished my race. Weep for yourself, because at 33, heaven can say, this is my beloved son, whom I am well pleased. Can heaven say the same thing of you? Rise up early. Take up your assignment early, so that you won't be doing it when you can no longer do it. Number 18, while on destiny journey, learn to delegate and transfer authority when need be. Learn to delegate and transfer authority when need be. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 20 and verse 22, the Bible says, David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper. He left the sheep in the hand of a keeper of the carriage, and he ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. Learn to transfer authority. In other words, don't be a user of men, be a trainer of men. Praise God. If after 5 years it is still only you that can do what only you can do, and the men around you cannot do it, you have not done well. Say, I hear, sir. If it is only you that can do what only you can do, you are not El Shaddai. Otherwise, you will die very soon. It is only God that is the all-breasted one. Learn to train men to do the thing that you can do, so that it will give you leverage to do other things. Praise the Lord. And David delegated the work and said, you take care of this ship. Why? I go yonder. It is not enough to celebrate a new challenge. You must ask, where is the old? To whom are you leaving the task? While on destiny journey, remember, you may need to leave your base. Do you have anyone you will keep at the task in this custody? Don't just use men. Train men. Praise God. Number 19, while on destiny journey, gather information intentionally. Thank you, Holy Spirit of God. Gather information intentionally. In warfare, intelligence gathering is key to success. Look at verse 26 of 1 Samuel chapter 17. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done? Gather information. Don't be somebody who is just living and existing. Gather information intentionally. When you want to go somewhere, seek to know about that place. When you want to start something, seek to know what that thing entails. Gather information intentionally. David gathered information. He said, can I know what will be done? Let me know the details of this battle. Let me know what is involved in this thing. How much do you know about what you want to do? It's very important. Praise God. Number 20. Avoid offense and petty quarrels. If you are going to arrive, stop using your energy to fight with men. Use that energy to put on the road. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 28 to verse 30. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him towards another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. David never took offense with his brother because the journey was beyond fighting with humans. Satan wanted to change the rhythm of the battle from corporate to individual, but David understood better and he kept the fight at the appropriate plane. Listen, avoid offense. Offense is a dagger that pierces deep into the heart of a traveler. And when you have a dagger in your heart, you can't travel far. Avoid offenses. Avoid petty quarrels. Avoid malice. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envies and all evil speaking. There are some fights that are not necessary. Abraham said to Lot, we are brothers. We should not be fighting. You see, if we continue to fight, we will lose the bigger picture. Every time the devil brings a fight between two close friends, there is something he wants to rob them of. Every time the devil brings a quarrel between a husband and a wife, there is something he wants to rob them of. Learn how to intentionally avoid quarrels. Avoid it. David is on a plane. A very important thing. Everybody is running. And a boy came and said, what will be given? And his eldest brother came. domestic quarrel, family banter. What are you doing here? I know your naughtiness. I know that you have come to spy the battle. You shouldn't be here. And David says, what have I done? Brother, this is not time to fight. Brother, there is something bigger that is fighting us. We need to put all our energy together and fight that common enemy. You see, one of the ways the devil can weaken the base of his opponent is to make them fight within themselves. When the devil knows that togetherness, when you are together, you can win, he will put division amongst you. And so every time you see quarrel springing up, stand your feet and say they cannot stand. Because the Bible says, blessed is he that is not offended in me. David didn't stand to fight. I say, you get out. After all, you have been in this battle. You have not been able to fight. Get out there. Who are you? David shifted away from him and went to another. I pray for you that you will arrive your destination safe, sound, and great.
Beloved, thank you for taking time to listen to God's word. We trust you've been blessed. This message was brought to you by Pentecostal Deliverance Church, located at 65 Stadium Road, opposite Mummy B Junction, Rumomasi, Port Harcourt. You can get our Sincere Milk Devotional and Believer's Training Class Manual and other inspiring and life-transforming audio messages from our church book stand located in the church premises or through our website www.pdconline247.com. Furthermore, our church activity schedule is as follows. Monday and Thursday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. counseling. Wednesday, 6 p.m. School of Wisdom. Friday, 6 p.m. prayer meeting. Sunday, 8 a.m. lifting service. If you would like to reach us via call, our helplines are 080-3389-0315 and 080-6935-5639. God bless you.